Well, this morning I'll be continuing our message and made for more than this. I don't know about you, but I was super blessed with Laurel sharing last week. Laurel, if you're watching, thank you once again for sharing with us the message and looking at Abigail and the more that she was embraced for as being a peacemaker. Today we'll be continuing this series and we'll be looking at Abram, who his name is later changed to Abraham, and oftentimes he's referred to as Father Abraham. When as a kid, I actually learned a song, which I won't sing or do the motions to, but it's Father Abraham, and it was a fun one. I remember that, doing that in children's church and in Sunday school, but we want to see the more that Abram was encouraged to take, and he could have settled for less. He could have done a whole lot less, and all of us today, we had that temptation that God's inviting us into the more, something that God is calling us to, but there is a temptation to want to settle, the temptation to want to not move out into the place that God's calling us to be looking at. And so we'll be looking at Genesis 11, chapter 11, and we'll be starting at verse 27. And primarily, there's a lot we could look at Abram or Abraham's story, but we're going to be looking primarily at the beginning of his story and the call that God had upon his life and his family. So let's look at Genesis 11. Chapter 11, starting in verse 27. It says, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Noah, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Noah both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was a daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years. And he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And we're going to continue into Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. It says, I will make you, this is God speaking, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they have accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for how great you are. God, there's truly no one like you. God, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for the life of Abram and Sarai and their family. And God, we pray that you speak to us, God, through your word. God, teach us, correct us, conform us more and more into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at a couple things today about this idea of being made to be a blessing. Oftentimes in our life, we can sometimes focus on wanting to just be blessed, but the invitation that God calls us to, and as we'll see with Abram and his family, was actually to be a blessing to others, not just to a couple of people, not just to the neighbors, but it literally says to like literally everyone, it will be a blessing through you to the nations. God's heart is always to be blessing others, and Abram had a call specifically to receive that invitation. So the first thing I want to look at, in order to be stepping into the more of blessing others and made to be a blessing, we first have to receive God's blessing in our own life. And that really takes faith. especially when it comes to receiving from God. It's only in faith that we can receive from someone that we can't see, right? We can't see him right now. Jesus was here on the planet. He's now in heaven, but we can't see him. So it takes faith to receive. It can be easy sometimes to skip this first step and want to just move into meeting need, blessed need, go anywhere you can. But as many of us know, and I've experienced in my own life, when we start to bless others without receiving the blessing of God first, we will default not to relying on God's ability and strength working in us, but we will do it on our own. And as all of us know, we are frail and we are human and we are finite and we can just run out of steam. So for some of us who are watching this live or the recording, the invitation today could be, before even looking to bless somebody else, would be, God, can I receive the blessing from you today in your presence? That's ultimately the blessing we could have, that God invites us into relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Abram was invited to receive a blessing from God, but also to go out and give that blessing. We can only receive that which we have, we only can give that which we have received from God. One of the biggest, hindrances to receiving, as we see in scripture and even today, is pride. When we decide that we want to do life for our own way, we will not receive what God has for us, nor be able to share that with others. I started reading towards the end of Genesis chapter 11, the call of Abram that God had on his life. But if you read earlier in Genesis chapter 11, it actually shows that all the humans got together at the time on the planet, and they decided, you know what? We want to make a great name for ourselves. And they built a really, really tall tower, and this is referred to as the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11:4, it says, this is what is recorded, it says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to heaven, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" All these people who are united. It's, imagine the power there is in unity, right? United together. But they were not united together under God for his purposes. They were united together for their own purposes, not to make God's name great and be a blessing to the nations. They wanted to make their name great and then make it all about themselves. And as we know that God came in, he separated everybody with different languages. They were unable to speak the same language, so the work stopped. But literally, pride was the blocking point for them to be able to receive what God had for them, ultimately the blessing that God wanted to work in their life and through their life. If we're not careful, pride can keep us from growing into the more that God has for us, not just to receive, but also to share. So the first thing we want to look at when it talks about being made to be a blessing is receive God's blessing in your own life. Pause down, slow down, and be in God's presence. It can be easy to learn a lot about God. We can do that through reading the Bible, talking to other people, listening to podcasts, reading blogs. I've seen this, even though I'm still somewhat young, but I've seen people get so educated about God, more than probably most people I know the Greek, know the Hebrew, but miss knowing Jesus. And a life that's built on knowledge of God, but not intimacy with the Creator, will not stand. It falls every single time. But a life built on Jesus and a relationship, that can last for all eternity. Let us be careful, especially in a season where it's easy to get lots and lots of knowledge of things, to make sure that we're not missing out on the blessing of just knowing Jesus, listening to the whispers of his Holy Spirit, receiving the joy of the Lord, extending mercy and receiving grace daily, that it's actually a relationship, not just an academic study. We want to receive God's blessing in our own life. The second thing we want to do is we want to walk in the blessing that God's given us. We want to receive from God, and then we want to give to others. We want to walk in God's blessing. Now, the blessing that God had given to Abram and Sarai and the family was really, really big. That they would be blessing the nations. It was huge. And oftentimes, when God gives us a blessing or gives us a call to something, many times it doesn't happen overnight. You ever realize that? It's like, why can't we just fast forward like the realization of the fullness of the blessing? This blessing of being able to bless so many others would take a lot of time. Now, as we're looking at this passage, this blessing would be through Abram and Sarai's family. But as we're reading right here, Sarai doesn't have any children. It actually says that she is childless, Verse 30 says, Sarai was childless because she was unable to conceive. So here is not just a blessing to receive and a blessing to give. It's a blessing that ultimately is going to require faith, but also patience and time. It's going to take a miracle because right now there's no child on the horizon. It actually took a lot of time. And a lot of times when we look in the Bible, we'll see that there's time gaps between promises and promises fulfilled. But that does not mean that the promise keeper is forgetting his promise towards us. I heard a quote once I love when I was at Elam Bible Institute in college. It says, God will give you vision by the mile, but you have to take it by the step. God gave Abram a huge vision, but he had to take it by a step of faith. Abram started out when he was 75 years old. So any of our senior citizens who are watching this right now, boy, the call could be coming now for you to step out into something new. You're not too old or too young to be used by God. But it was 25 years later, a quarter of a century, is when Abram and Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah, had their child, the promised child. 25 years. That's a long time. That's like a good portion of my entire life to be waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. And sometimes the time can speak louder to us than the promise of the blessing that God's given to us in our life. And that's where faith comes in. God, am I going to listen and hold on to your promise that this blessing is going to come about, whatever that specific might look like? God, I'm going to believe you on this, even when time, it doesn't go into details, but maybe friends, family, strangers might have been like, it's been a long time, Abram and Sarai. That blessing idea, it hasn't really come about, you know, kind of based on a child, and right now, there's no child. As we know the story, Abraham and Sarah, they made some great choices, and they made some poor choices, and it's a great realization that God works through broken people, like Abraham and Sarah, like you, like me. That means there's hope that we can do stuff for God, right? God's not inviting people, oh, in order to receive a blessing, to give a blessing, you need to be perfect. God's actually saying you're not perfect. We make mistakes. The Bible calls that sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, when we walk into receiving God's blessing and then living that out, we can be a blessing to others. But oftentimes, it takes time. Sometimes God just acts on it in a moment, but many times there's patience involved. So first, we want to receive God's blessing in our own life. Then we want to walk in God's blessing. And then the third thing I want to share is just step out in our comfort zone to be a blessing. It really takes courage. Abram was invited to leave his hometown and his family to go to a different country. That's a huge shift. And some of you watching this, I know we have some missionaries in different countries watching or the recording. You've done this. Like, you lived this out. God invited you to go to a different country to be a blessing to people you have yet to meet, and then you went. You stepped out in faith. You stepped out. It takes courage, literally moving everything, and it switches up your whole lifestyle. Abram did that as well. He took his whole family, stepped out in faith. That's really outside of what he knew. It was outside of what he grew up, outside of his country. And for us, God might be inviting you right now, and maybe those watching live the recording, maybe the Lord has been speaking to you that there is a country that God wants you to step on. That would be a very practical application, a big application of this message, where the Lord's like, there's something percolated. There's a country that comes in. When you look at a map, or back in the day when you had one of those globes that would spin around in your house, which were fun, right? You see one country, and you just feel like your heart burns. Like, why do I always pray for this country? I haven't even been there. The Lord might actually be inviting you to go there and be a blessing to those in the country. But for many of us, we're probably not going to another country. It might be another state, or maybe we'll be in the same place we are today, but the Lord is asking us to step out in faith to reach people in our area that we have yet to reach with the love of Jesus. Abraham could have settled for the less and stayed in his hometown doing life and what he knew how to do it, but he stepped out. He saw the more that God was inviting him to, and he stepped out in faith. He wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to look at some practical ways of how we can be a blessing today. And I got these resources and these steps from a book that was actually done as a study here, I believe last year, called Surprise the World by Michael Frost. And these are 5 habits of highly missional people, and I focus on being a blessing. And so I want to look at that today as we're thinking of practical ways Because the Lord invites each of us into different places. And the invitation is, Lord, help me not just to mimic what I see my brother or sister doing next to me, but Lord, you have something uniquely planned for my life. Could I engage in that, receive that, have faith to believe it, and also just step out into it? So here's some real practical things that you could put into application even today, if not this week. So it's referred to in Surprise the World as the BELLS Challenge, B-E-L-L-S, and it's an acronym, and we'll go through that. So the first one is, as we're talking about blessing, is literally to bless people. We bless people, and the idea here is to focus on this each week, to bless people both inside and outside the church. And if somebody was here, I guarantee there'd be a couple amens saying yes. And then I would ask, which amen are we saying amen to, the inside or the outside of the church building? Sometimes it can be easier to bless people outside the church building or maybe inside. But Jesus would bless, right, those who were following in the synagogue, the Jews. He would interact with the Pharisees. He would bless whoever he was around, but he would also hang out with people outside of the whole religious realm, the outsiders, those who would be ignored, those who would not even be cared for. He was hanging out. He was not just hanging out and saying, waving down. He would sit down, have a meal, get to know them, love on them. What if we were to look intentionally at blessing, whether that's through a word of blessing, an act of blessing, or a gift of blessing, one person this week? Or maybe you want to try for three. And if you have nobody popping in your head right now, you can just always pause and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there one person I could bless this week intentionally? It might be someone in your family, could be someone on your street, or maybe near your farm, if you have a lot of land. It could be someone that you know within the church community. It could be someone outside. But the Lord might invite you to bless. And in a moment at the end of this bells, we'll have a moment just to pause and ask the Lord. So the first thing is we can bless people. And this is what's in the Surprise the World book by Michael Frost. The second one, which I will admit is a little trickier given the COVID-19 restrictions, but I love the second one, and many of you probably do. But the idea of eating together with others, which I know this is tricky with COVID-19, so this might be one that you put on the back burner, so to speak, and maybe think of, might there be someone I could maybe have a meal with? Or if that can't work right now, cup of coffee, go for a walk, go over to Donnelly's, get some ice cream. I don't know, something, but to have an idea of actually having some kind of fellowship, sharing a meal together, Jesus would often do this. We eat together, sharing meals with believers and non-believers alike. Jesus had his close friends. He had his close three. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 70. He had others following him. But he wouldn't just stay in all those circles all the time. He would hang out with people who were not in those circles at all. He would step out of his comfort zone and eat with those that many religious people would look down on. So the first one is blessing. We intentionally look to bless people. The second one is eating. You might have to use some wisdom or creativity how you do that with COVID-19 restrictions. The third one is listen. We listen to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as well as engage with those around us. When I was on a ministry team once down in New York City, I think the church was evangelical or evangel. I think it was actually a Christian school too. But it was right in Queens, and a pastor was preaching there. And I remember he had this really fun thing. He got a whiteboard out. And you got to love when pastors are trying to draw on a whiteboard because you're not exactly sure what they're drawing. But what I was told it was an ear. And I always remember this imagery. I really appreciated, actually, the illustration. Had this thing that he called double listening. Essentially, when you're interacting with other people in the city, on the sidewalk, on the street, wherever you are, up here it might be maybe when you're all in the plumbing section of Lowe's or at Walmart or wherever we're gathering, this idea of listening to people, but then also double listening to the Holy Spirit at the same time. Because we want to plug in, hear what someone's saying. You want to empathize, you want to care, you want to love like Jesus. But also we want to tune in. Holy Spirit, might there be anything you want me to share, say, maybe not say, in order to be a blessing right in this moment? I always remember that visual, just the idea of double listening to the person, but also listening to the Holy Spirit within and acting and responding accordingly. So we want to bless others, we want to eat together, we want to listen. The fourth thing is we want to learn. We want to intimately learn Christ as our leader and model for making disciples. Jesus said that this is the call of the church, is to go out and make disciples of all nations. This idea of blessing that we see in Abram, and then we see through the Jewish family line, and then we see that Jesus brings together both the Jews and the Gentile. This whole idea is still going. Let's keep blessing. Let's love God. Let's love others. The idea is to make disciples of all nations. Once again, the whole idea of these nations, there's definitely a huge theme throughout the Old Testament and the New. But we want to learn from Christ. We want to intimately see Christ, know Christ. If you have not read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recently, I would encourage you, get back into one of the Gospels. Right now I'm reading John, around John chapter, I think, 10 this morning. And it's just wonderful just to look at what Jesus is doing and then go do what Jesus does, right? Just be like, okay, this is what Jesus does. See someone sick, I'm going to go pray for the sick. That was really simple. Someone doesn't know a lot about maybe God, I'm going to sit down and share in a way that makes sense. See someone condemned in sin, hey, I'm not going to condemn them. I'm going to let them know you don't need to sin anymore, that God died for your sins, but I'm going to love those people. Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful Savior, but also leader. And when we look at him as our model, no one else, but look at Jesus as our model, we have everything we need to step out and bless others. So let's learn intimately from Christ as our Lord. The last thing is see ourselves as being sent. We see ourselves as being sent by God to everywhere life takes us. Sometimes when we're going through life, we can get through the whole motions thing. You know, just kind of like one day after another day, I do this, I wake up, I go do that, I go back, I go sleep, I do this. You know, it's kind of like a reloop. Especially with COVID-19, I heard multiple people I've talked to just saying it felt like it was a time warp blur from March to probably recently. Just felt like, is today Tuesday? Are we doing church online on Sunday? Is this Wednesday? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. But sometimes we're just like, what day is it? Like, there's no day wasted when it comes to God. God has a plan and a purpose for us, even if it's something very small, each and every day. I remember when I first came up to the New Hope Community Church in the Potsdam as an intern, I was invited to go to a youth gathering at a church in Messina called New Testament. They got wonderful pastors up there. Really love that church. Good friends with the lead pastor and his wife, Greg and Jess. Anyways, Jessica, she was the youth pastor at the time. She invited all these local youth groups from southern portion of Canada and northern part of New York to come together. And I really loved the model Jessica set because she really liked the idea of bringing churches together. Who would have thought? Sounds like Jesus. So we had all these youth pastors from all these different churches, and we had one meeting that was really, really neat. And so there was a second meeting. And so I was going to Messina, and this is before I had like a really cool smartphone with a data plan, but I was driving and I had one of those nice little feature phones, if you remember those. Probably kids don't know what those are. They probably think iPads are probably phones, but whatever. But anyway, it was a little feature phone, and I was driving and realized I'd never got the directions to the house. Last time we met at a youth impact center, this time we're meeting at a house. So I go up to Messina and I'm like, what's going on? Like, I got there and I realized we're not meeting at the youth center. I'm knocking on the door. Maybe some of us have done this before, and you're like, there's nobody here, there's nobody there, what's going on? And I was just really disheartened because I really enjoyed the fellowship of these different youth pastors, but I didn't know where they were meeting. I didn't know where they were meeting. And I didn't have a smartphone to pull up my email. How do you do life without a smartphone? I don't know. I think it's possible, though. So I got back into my car. I was discouraged. Drove half an hour, rushed my day to get there, and I really wanted to have this opportunity, and I missed it. So I went in the car, and I just started praying. I'm like, well, God, this is a waste of time and a waste of gas money. I'm like, here I am in Messina, and I can't find. I know I'm like probably within blocks of this person's house, but I just didn't feel like knocking on everybody's door. I could have done that. So I just sat there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was just telling me, you know, he's like, this moment's not wasted here. I brought you here for another purpose. I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I really thought the only purpose I was coming here was for this youth group connect thing. And he's like, you see that pizzeria across the street? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you see that guy that just came out on a smoke break? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I want you to go across the street, get out of your car, and tell him that I love him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, seriously? Like, that's not a thing that Jesus would do, would he? Yeah, it's actually a thing Jesus would do a lot. just go up to strangers. Took me a little while. Honestly, I usually debate, like, is this the devil? What's going on? No, God's like, I'm telling you to love him. So after a while, I gained up some courage. I stepped out of my comfort zone, even though I wanted to stay in my comfort zone and my little Hyundai Elantra. I did not want to get out of that. That felt very safe. Listen to my worship songs, but not get out of the car. Eventually, I got out of the car. I went across the street. I said, hey, it's going to be kind of weird. My name's Jim. I don't know what you're going to think about this, but I was just praying. I felt like God wanted me to come over and tell you that he loves you. And we had a pretty short conversation. He thanked me for it. I'm not exactly sure what happened after that, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me there, and I stepped out of my comfort zone in obedience to bless somebody, and the person was very blessed. I just want to make it very clear. We want to look at whatever we're doing. Sometimes things will happen, and what we think is a great setback in our life can be a setup for us to be bringing a blessing to someone we would never have met before. Might there be things in our own lives where, like, God, why are we in this season? I don't have a job right now. This relationship is strained. I'm stuck somewhere because of COVID, and I want to be somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe we can stop and invite the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? You saw this moment before I was born. You knew exactly what was going on. God, might there be a person or a people group, a family that you're wanting me to step out and bless in some way at this time? So we're going to have a moment just to pause and to pray. I'm going to invite up the worship team to come up in a moment. But we're going to have some time just to slow down, just to invite the Lord. It's great to just be led by God, just like the Holy Spirit led me. Go talk to that one person about the love of God for them. Might there be one person for each of us this week that God might want us to step out? Or God might give you multiple names. I don't know. He's God. I'm not. So let's take a moment to slow down, pause, and listen. I'm just going to open it with prayer. We'll take about a minute just to kind of quiet down, and then I'll pray, and then we'll have the musicians lead us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you speak to us today. God, thank you that as you speak to Abram very clearly that you want to bless him and make him a blessing to the nations, you speak to us even right now. And Lord, I just pray against any distractions or anything else going on that we can just settle down to watching this live or the recording and just tune in to what you might want to say, that we would tune into the voice of our loving Father and respond accordingly. So let's just take just a couple seconds right now, wherever we're watching this, listening, and just listening to the Father. And then I'll just close this prayer time before we have a song. Lord, I just thank you for the way that you love us. God, thank you for the way that you speak to us. I think it's amazing that you create stars and planets and galaxies, and yet you'll speak to us. God, we're so small compared to you. God, thank you for your tender, loving care. God, as maybe we're receiving a name or a person right in our face that you want us to step out with, God, will we have courage with humility to respond accordingly? God, forgive us, and forgive me too, God, which I've done this, when I let pride have the day. Lord, we look at the Tower of Babel, and we're like, look at all these wicked people building a tower. I would never do that. And honestly, I probably would have been building the tower too, because I know I can be so prideful apart from you, God. Each one of us, God, probably could be building our own towers, not to your image, but to our image. Forgive us, God, when we say no to your leading. Forgive us, God, when we're so busy we won't slow down just to listen to the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, God, when we want to build our kingdom over your kingdom. God, thank you that you say there's forgiveness, that we right now can just ask for forgiveness. It says you'll wash us as white as snow, you'll cleanse us, you'll remove our sin as far as the east is from the west, that today could be a new day. We might have been doing us this whole past week, this whole past month, this whole past year, last decade or two, might have been me. But in this moment, could we have a moment with you where it's like, Lord, forgive me. I've gone my own way. I've gone astray. God, would you redeem me, restore me? I want to receive from you, maybe for the first time. God, I want to be blessed and receive that from you, but Lord, I want to bless others. God, I want to step out in a way that looks more like Jesus and less like me this week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. God, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you that your blessings go on and on and on. All eternity, God, we'll be celebrating and receiving that. So, Lord, as we sing, declare how great you are, God, and what you've done in our life. God, I pray our hearts would just rejoice as well as our mouths, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.